Welcome, 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 welcome to the 14th episode of Pints of Football. I am joined here by Himanshu, who has finally managed to take out some time from his extremely busy new job. And on today's episode, we are going to discuss the news which has finally been announced by Chelsea Football Club after weeks of finding out that Pochettino has received the contract. Now Pochettino is reading the contract and now he's translating it from English to Spanish and now back from Spanish to English. Chelsea have finally announced Mauricio Pochettino as their new manager on a two-year contract. And on this episode, we will break down everything in detail. How Pochettino's Tottenham, his Chelsea will line up. Is he the right man for the job? And what are some of the key areas that he will have to focus on? And finally, what will be a successful season for Mauricio Pochettino?
This was, of course, something that we all knew would happen. It was, of course, not official for a very, very long time. This is something that if you go back a few episodes, you had also wished happened to Chelsea.
Exactly.
When there were so many, you know, rumored possible Chelsea managers, including Nagelsmann, including
Luis Enrique.
It was quite a lot of people who were being linked to Chelsea at that point in time. So how has it been, Ayusha? Happy that it's finally happened? Happy that it's Pochettino?
I mean, I'm really happy with this deal. I mentioned again, I think Chelsea are in a rebuilding phase. That does not mean that he stops targeting the Premier League title, according to me. But yeah, Chelsea are in a rebuilding phase. A lot of things need to be changed at the club. Players need to be removed. There are a lot of players who are in that potential phase, but have not shown anything concrete. And if one thing Pochettino has proved time and time again is that he does a very good rebuilding job. He did it at Southampton. He took them to their highest ever finish in the Premier League when they finished eighth. He did a proper rebuilding job with Tottenham. And let's face it, I mean, when we say Tottenham, we only think about Mauricio Pochettino or maybe Gareth Bale. But that's a point. He's done it at two other clubs. He went to PSG. Everybody had a tough job at PSG. Yes, he won the French League. But again, it's not a given, right? They did lose the French League a couple of years back to Lille. So I think he's a proven manager. He's exactly what Chelsea need. He has a very clear idea of the way he wants to play football. He's known to work with a tough board, tough dressing room, limited resources. So, and he knows the league very well. So for all of these reasons, I think he's a very, very good appointment at Chelsea. And I think if he fails at Chelsea, it will be if Todd Boehly and his friends or let's say co-owners decide to interfere a lot.
Both
but
friends,
I think if
yeah.
they stay in the background and do only the technical part of football and let him take care of the football related stuff, I think he will succeed at Chelsea. And again, this is a dressing room again with no egos. And this is a dressing room which really wants to do well, considering even those players know, right? They realize that they are these high rated players that everybody was talking about a couple of months back or a couple of years back. So all of these players also want to go on to the next level. All that sheen of the Champions League victory would have worn off by now. So, I mean, even players would be willing to work under him and get some kind of structure.
And I think the biggest thing for me, for Pochettino, is what he required at Tottenham after a couple of seasons, a total refresh of the squad that Daniel Levy could not give him. And I'm sure if, let's say, a couple of seasons on Chelsea, would have probably won a couple of trophies, been in the Champions League consistently. So what would happen then? He'll require a refreshing of the squad because they'll obviously be tired after that project has been completed. And I'm sure Todd Boehly can give him that, because what really excites Todd Boehly, as we have seen, is just new players. And that's the total opposite of what Daniel Levy used to give him. So happy that Pochettino will get that. Having said that, my biggest concern is that two-year contract. What does that two-year contract tell you? It's not really instilling a lot of confidence, but if obviously Pochettino has agreed to it, he does see some value in that project.
Who do you think pushed hard for the two-year contract? We know that the negotiations went on for a very, very long time. So do you think it was Pochettino who wanted a smaller deal or Chelsea wanted a smaller deal?
I think probably, for me, it was Todd Boehly, because he's had an experience in, you know, removing Graham Potter, removing Tuchel, and I'm not sure how much he had to pay for both of them, but I'm assuming it's substantial amounts. So he's overcompensating that and telling Pochettino, hey, you know, you get 2 years, an additional optional year if we are okay with you. That's something probably Todd Boehly wanted. I don't see how Pochettino did not want that, having, you know, seeing that he's at least considered a failure in PSG because he didn't win the Champions League. And he's not had too much of a, you know, backdrop in terms of trophies that he has won. So for me, I think Todd Bowley is probably the one who pushed him to get that 2-year contract.
Let's start actually focusing on the way Pochettino teams line up. If you take PSG aside, right, is both Southampton and Tottenham teams. They're teams which are known for extremely high intensity football, teams which press a lot, teams which run a lot. And something we've been hearing from the, about Chelsea or the dressing room leaks is that the standards in training have dropped. But Pochettino is a person who's, again, galvanized teams again and again. In his second season at Southampton, Southampton were the team in the Premier League who had covered the maximum distance, and they had done it by a mile. I mean, by a distance, you know, in the season. They were 7 kilometers ahead of any other team when you were looking at distance covered in the per 90 in a 90-minute game. And at that point of time, in his second season at Southampton, Tottenham were 20th in the league in terms of distance covered. But when he joined Tottenham, right, in his final 4 years, Tottenham were the team which had covered the most distance in 3 out of those 4 seasons, right? Even in the season where they were not first, they were third, not by a long. So something as basic, you know, as picking up these standards, increasing the fitness of his players, and change and galvanizing a 20th place team in 2 seasons to become the most intense team in the Premier League. It just shows that he's capable of doing that transformation. And I think at Chelsea, again, as I keep saying, there are no egos in that dressing room. And there are probably players who are not pushing themselves to the maximum limit. And with this bloated squad, were all had all the more reason, you know, to not do it, will now start doing it. And he's a person who's done it before. And if there's one thing we can surely say about this, his Chelsea next season will be, they will be a much, much more intense team. Pochettino's training sessions are known to be extremely, extremely harsh on his players. And I think all of those things are what Chelsea definitely need. And one thing he'll surely make Chelsea the next season are a team which will be extremely, extremely difficult to beat.
Exactly. And he has all the resources to kind of deal with this because all of them are young, hungry players. I would say probably with these 30 plus players, they were directionless. But now you have Pochettino and the squad trimmed down. He'll keep only those hungry players. He even got rid of Joao Felix without much of a think, right? Because he knows he has a very good idea in his mind on the kind of players he wants and the players who are willing to learn, willing to go that extra mile for him. And apart from, let's say, maybe a Thiago Silva who's on the older side, everyone else at Chelsea are at the right age for, you know, Pochettino to pick them up and make them real champions. So very excited to see what happens to Chelsea next season.
So in terms of how Pochettino's Chelsea will line up, right? We've seen him at Southampton, we've seen him at Tottenham, we've seen him at PSG. He always plays with a back four. That's the way he likes to play his football. And then going up front, it keeps changing. He either plays a 4-2-3-1 or he plays a 4-3-3. And at PSG, obviously, he had to adjust and play a 4-4-2. But primarily, 4 at the back. And then going up front, things can change. And we'll also, before we go deep into how his midfield shapes up, let's focus on the defense right now. So we are aware that Chelsea has an extremely bloated squad. So the current defenders on paper are Badiashil, Thiago Silva, Chaloba, Chilwell, James, Azpilicueta, Cucurella, Fofana and Koulibaly. In terms of trimming down the squad, there are already rumors that Azpilicueta's time at the club is coming to an end. He's been an amazing servant to the club, unlike Mason Mount. That's what a true tenure looks like. And he's going to be leaving the club. It's almost confirmed. And there are already rumors that Chaloba and Koulibaly will be leaving the club. That will leave Chelsea with Badiashil, Chilwell, James, Cucurella and Wesley Fofana. Himanshu, first of all, Chaloba, Azpilicueta and Koulibaly. Do you think these three players should be leaving the club? Considering, given that if they leave the club, as I mentioned, the remaining are the players who are going to be available for Chelsea defensively.
Azpilicueta, not so much because he's really Chelsea through and through. It's been there for so many seasons. So I think Pochettino will need someone to stay there to, you know, show these Chelsea newbies like how Chelsea is, you know, just to give them a little bit of sense of a pride. Chaloba, I think I leave that up to you. Again, a youngster, so I might side on the part that let's just keep him, you know, because we need a few youngsters who've been there from the start. Koulibaly, not so much. Very highly rated. Didn't do that well in this season. So I can see why Pochettino wants to get rid of him because he likes a young group of players. That is my take on these three exits. What about you? What's your take?
I mean, see, Obviously, I would want Chalobah to stay, not because I'm a big fan, but because he's come through from the academy and I think he should get more
Exactly.
chances. But considering that the squad needs to be trimmed down, I don't have a many major problem if these three, are the players who are leaving the club. I would rather obviously get rid of Kukureya instead of Chalobah. But that doesn't seem to be happening. And also, Kukureya is for 56 million Chelsea signed him. I don't think anybody is going to pay that kind of money for him, especially at the end of this atrocious season that he has just had.
Correct.
Given that these players leave, and like Pochettino, let's assume that. So I'm okay with these three players leaving. I think Aspilicueta's time at the club is up. He was going to leave last season only for Barcelona, but the club extended his contract by a year. And I think he will depart on both sides will be mutually happy to part ways. There's going to be no feeling of bitterness on either side. And I think with that, let's say that stable figure, I think Thiago Silva is still there. I think Reece James is pretty sure. I'm surely one of the leaders in that locker room again. So I'm okay with these three players leaving. Assuming all of these guys leave, now who do you think are going to be Pochettino's back four, right? So first of all, on the left-hand side, who do you think is going to be? Is it going to be Chilwell or is it going to be Kukureya?
I would not have either of these players in a back four. But just by reputation, I would say Chilwell. He'll adapt probably better than Kukureya. And Kukureya has had a terrible season, while Chilwell has done decently well, I would say. Not as a part of a back four. But then, yeah, I'd probably say Chilwell will make it through and Kukureya will be a backup.
And I think on the right hand side, it goes without saying that Reece James is going to start, right?
If he stays fit.
Yeah, I mean, if he stays fit, definitely. Now, in the center of the park is where we have Badiashile, we have Thiago Silva, who can start, and then we have Wesley Fofana. So, who do you have the two starting?
I think as a left-sided defensive center back, it'd probably be Badiashile. He's young, he's left-footed, which kind of brings in the balance as well. So for me, Badiashile. Thiago Silva, of course, is the veteran, right? He'd probably be there for the important matches, but I don't see him playing very regularly through the season because I just don't remember, Pochettino playing someone as old as that, despite what experience he has in a season, of through and through. So that's Badiashile for me. And on the right side, maybe Wesley Fofana. He's a great defender, had a very good season at Leicester. Unfortunate with injuries this season, so I see him coming back into the squad.
I mean, this is where I think I disagree. I think Thiago Silva and Wesley Fofana will start. I think Fofana has to start also because of the huge price tag which was there on him. So I think it has to. And I think this will probably be the season where we see Thiago Silva transition the responsibility that ultimately to Badiashile. It might simply be that Badiashile and Wesley Fofana both start, but I don't think it'll have start happening from game one, unless Pochettino has a really, really good preseason where he feels that he has completely drilled his message down to his defenders. So I think, yeah, we are in a great agreement. I think also for Chelsea to have a great season, I think both the fullbacks have to be fit throughout the season. We've seen Reece James and Ben Chilwell not be fit regularly for the past 2 seasons now, but whenever both of them are fit, the club seems to play really, really well together. Obviously, they both will have to adjust to a back four, as you have rightly mentioned. But yeah, both of them being fit is going to be extremely crucial. But defense is not where I think Chelsea's problems lie. I think Chelsea's problem lie primarily in the midfield position. That is also where. But like before midfield, let's just quickly focus on the goalkeepers, right? So when it comes to the Chelsea goalkeepers, obviously Edouard Mendy, we are hearing, will be leaving the club. He also wants to leave the club. He has not renewed his contract. The third goalkeeper we can forget about right now. There are rumors that Chelsea will be moving on from Kepa. Do you think it's a good idea to let go of Kepa, or let's say on a squad which needs to be trimmed down, Kepa should be one of the positions that Chelsea should be making a change in?
He would not result in a lot of profits, which I think is very crucial for them now. And Kepa has done decently well recently. So keep Kepa for me. Just keep him and, just get milk out another season from him.
It's almost like the kind of position United are in with
Correct.
De Gea,
Exactly,
right?
right. You need to get rid of him, but it just doesn't feel practical in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, in a world of limited resources, this is the least of the problems, is what I would say for Chelsea.
Exactly.
Moving on, now we come to the midfield. So traditionally, how Pochettino midfields have played. His teams have always been very fluid. He's never had, let's say, a proper number 10, let's say. His midfielders and his, let's say, the people on the flanks and the front three, or they all basically change their positions interchangeably. They change their positions a lot. There's a lot of fluidity. There's a lot of freedom to run behind the striker, right? Now, with that in mind, right, let's look at this Chelsea midfield. And midfield is the area where Chelsea are overloaded with players. At the same time, I think midfield is the concern area for Chelsea, right? Looking at the current list of Chelsea midfielders, if I am not wrong, Chelsea have almost 11 players listed as midfielders, right? And those players, quickly reading out the names, are Enzo, Mason Mount, N'Golo Kante, Mateo Kovacic, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, David Dennis Zakaria, who's on loan from Juventus. There's Connor Gallagher. There's a player from the academy, Chukwuemeka. Sorry, we signed him from Aston Villa. There's Lewis Hall, Hutchinson, Pulisic, Joao Felix, Mudrik, Sterling, Ziyech, Maduke. My God, the squad can be an episode in itself. Out of these 14 players, right, Chelsea, there's already talks that Mason Mount will be leaving the club. N'Golo Kante and Chelsea have not yet. It now sounds like Chelsea will not be signing Kante onto a new contract given his fitness issues. Kovacic is in talks with Manchester City. Loftus-Cheek seems to be on his way out to AC Milan. Chelsea are not renewing Denis Zakaria's loan from Juventus. Pulisic is on his way out. Felix has already gone back to Atletico Madrid. And Ziyech was almost out in January himself. So he will surely be leaving the club. So with so many players now who seem to be leaving the club, if you look at the Chelsea midfield now, it gets narrowed down to just 8 players, right? And let's first focus on and that midfield 3, right? Those players who play as the pivot, they can be three of them. In those positions, Chelsea only have the options of Enzo, Conor Gallagher, Chukwuemeka, Lewis Hall and Hutchinson. So let's forget Lewis Hall and Hutchinson. They mainly just make up the squad. So it's just Enzo, it's Conor Gallagher and it's Chukwuemeka. Even if it's a pivot of those two, right? Those are the only... You basically only have Enzo and Conor Gallagher. And both of them are Enzo, a high-quality player, still adapting to the Premier League, cannot play as that single pivot. Conor Gallagher, I think, still has to prove himself. So no matter what formation Pochettino plays, Chelsea have to solve that problem of the pivot in midfield, right?
Exactly.
And it's big problem. It's a big problem.
I was actually surprised that they have a lack of players in any position. But then now you presented those options to me. It does seem like they are lacking in midfield, especially in the number 6 and number 8 position. Here, obviously, Enzo is the best player that they have in that region. Conor Gallagher hasn't really been a pivot. Chukwuemeka, if I'm pronouncing his name right, shows a lot of promise, but of course is not had a full season of the Premier League in terms of an experience with him. So that has become an issue. Probably they'll make a little bit of effort to keep some of their, players whose contracts are coming to an end, like a Kante, just to, fill that hole for
possibly
season.
If Kante is fit.
Right. But of course, a matter of concern in terms of the number 6 and number 8 positions.
Who are we hearing anything? Who's going to be that person for Chelsea? Are you hearing any?
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors
market?
For the Sporting Lisbon central midfielder named Ugarte, but there are many clubs after him. But of course, Chelsea have the upper hand, which is very mind-boggling to me in the situation they are in terms of financial fair play, restrictions they're facing. So, Ugarte is someone who's very good in the defensive midfield position. And if it's anything to say for the Sporting Lisbon players who come to the Premier League and have been a brilliant midfield success, like Bruno Fernandes, so of course, Manuel Ugarte will probably be a very good player for them as well. But these are, of course, rumors and they have to move fast to close these deals.
I mean, truly, this is going to be the biggest question that Pochettino has to solve. And that is where I think, no matter, his biggest role would be to convince Mason Mount to stay. Because apart from this season, Mount is a player who's also known to be fit for 50-50 games each season. And you just seeing, right, immediately the moment Mount goes out of the equation, that midfield three suddenly starts to look so, so weak. And he's probably the only player who experienced it playing day in and day out at the high level in that Chelsea midfield three. It's not Enzo and it's not Conor Gallagher. So, I mean, I think keeping Mount is crucial, and that's why Mount will be such a big loss for Chelsea. And that midfield more than midfield also, because from simply, you know, providing the team that's kind of stability in terms of transitioning the play, in terms of providing the protection to defense, that has to be the biggest thing that Pochettino has to solve. And moving now from the midfield to the front line, right? And it's the obvious problem at Chelsea. What do you do about the goal scoring problem? Because until Frank Lampard came in and everything went to the wolves, right? No pun intended. Chelsea were the team who were creating a lot of chances and were simply not scoring goals. The defense was always good, even under Graham Potter. It was always good under Thomas Tuchel. Looking at the Chelsea front three or a front two, or let's say the attacking players, right, who will be in those goal-scoring positions. Chelsea have Mudryk, whom they signed for 62 million. There's Sterling, who came in last season. There's Maduke. There's Havertz. There's David Datro Fofana. And then there's Armando Broja. So, Himanshu, how do you see Pochettino playing? Does he play with a 4-3-3 or does he play with a 4-4-2? Because that's going to inform what's going to be the players in that attacking position.
I feel like it might be a very similar situation to what he had at Tottenham, where, you know, Kane was up front. What's his name?
Dele Alli?
Dele Alli, of course. Yeah, it's completely gone out of my mind.
Oh my God.
So there'll be Dele Alli floating around him with a little bit more freedom. And then there'll be Christian Eriksen, of course, who'll be playing, you know, these kind of balls through so that when they're making their run. So there'll be two up front, in my opinion. And that two, one of them has to be a proper number nine. Wink, wink, Romelu Lukaku. And then there'll be Nkunku, who they've signed for such a huge fee. Although he's not a Pochettino player in terms of that Pochettino did not sign him. That kind of remains to be seen whether he treats him as, you know, someone he really wants. He'll be probably floating in behind him. And he's very clever with these, you know, little bit of flicks and tricks. And he has a lot of goals in him as well.
So you're saying we'll come to Nkunku, because he definitely is an exciting signing. Last year, he scored 20 goals in the Bundesliga, 35 goals in 62 games in all competitions. This year, he's had an injury-ridden season, but he has still scored 16 goals in the Bundesliga, 23 goals in 36 games. So, he obviously is a player who comes with goals. But let's go back to the formation. You're saying that Pochettino will most likely line up with a 4-4-1-1, right? Something like
correct.
That.
Yeah.
Or a 4-4-2.
Yes.
Not an obvious 4-4-2, but some variant of that.
Correct. So, there'll be a number 9 up top with, you know, a number 10 who's floating behind him and has a
little bit. So, in that midfield where you're seeing, right, we understood that what his pivot options are. Between Sterling and Mudryk, then there's Havard. So basically, how does he line up? Is my question. So let's say Nkunku comes. So you are saying that with Nkunku, he will be playing with two strikers up front. Nkunku will not be Chelsea's sole number 9, and Nkunku will not be the player who will be playing out wide, right?
Correct. Yes, there'll be two wide midfielders as well, who will probably be Sterling and.
Does he send Havertz out wide? Does he play with that kind of a width?
No. I think Havertz and Nkunku will probably rotate between each other, and Havertz will have a little bit more lesser responsibility, so he can express himself more, because a number 9 will take up the goal scoring burdens.
Okay, so you're saying that there will be a number 9, a specialist number 9, which means Chelsea either make it work with Lukaku, and then it will be a rotation between Havertz and Nkunku.
Correct. It will be a rotation between those.
So on
teams.
One side then leaves Chelsea with Sterling, right? I mean, sure, Sir Sterling is going to start even under Pochettino. Who do you think starts on the other wing then for Chelsea? Or do they have to go into the market now for another player?
Of course, Mudryk, they've paid so much money for him. So he'll at least get a couple of tries. And Pochettino is very good with young players.
So Mudryk, but also plays on the left, right? I mean, now that I'm looking at the squad, it just seems so unbalanced, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be there. Then there's Noni Madueke, who can play on the right side. He'll definitely play on the right side. There'll be two players in experience, Sterling and an understudy of Mudryk. A very expensive understudy in Mudryk will probably be playing there.
I totally agree with you that Nkunku plays with a striker up front. Now, whether that striker is Havertz, because I don't know how much Lukaku wants to come and again try to make it work at Chelsea, considering how settled he is at Inter.
Right.
So, let's, for all practical purposes, let's assume Lukaku is not going to be there. Which means, I think at least Chelsea, and I don't know where which proper number nine Chelsea can sign right now and shell out the money for. So I think he probably starts the season with Havertz and Nkunku, and both will probably be shouldering the responsibility of each other. Or maybe Pochettino likes Armando Broja. So maybe
Who
he
has
can line
fitness
up
issues?
fitness issues, and personally I'm not a big fan of him. So that can be a 4-4-2, or maybe he goes in with a 4-3-3, wherein again it's Havertz, it's Sterling on one side, it's Nkunku on the other side, you know, and they both are playing close to him instead of providing the width. And you have a very stable three in midfield. So even that can be a way he can line up. But again, we have not seen him do 4-3-3 a lot. It's mostly a four with two pivots, and then he plays a three and one or a 4-4-2. Still sticking to that 4-4-2.
Yeah, I think that's probably the safer side, the safer way to line up. My only worry is the wing back side. They are wing backs. They need another central defender to fit in. That's something I just see is we be very imbalanced to get a proper left back or a right back.
That's where I think, you know, he might shift to a 4-2-3-1, because with those two pivots, then your non-traditional full wing backs who have to become full backs, they'll have more cover over there with him. I think he might start the season trying to either play Nkunku through the center or try to play Nkunku off a striker in a very close 4-3-3 instead of, you know, going a 4-4-2.
Very exciting for the Premier League. Let's see what happens next season.
Yeah, it'll truly be interesting to see. And honestly, I mean, every decision now that Chelsea will have to make, I think there is no room for error, basically. I think that's pretty much there, given the shit show, pardon my language, which Chelsea have been in the transfer market over the past year. I think there is no scope for error now anymore this season. Finally, closing this discussion off, what do you think will be a successful year for Pochettino?
I think Chelsea should be really happy if they just qualify for the Champions League and then, you know, have a good cup run. I think that should be enough for them. Similar to what United did this season is what Chelsea should be getting back to.
But that top four now looks increasingly tough, right? I don't think getting into the top four has looked so tough ever, ever in the Premier League, right? Because I know a couple of years Tottenham were making it to the top four, and Arsenal had fallen down, and Liverpool had fallen down in between. But again, Tottenham didn't seem, were never the solid club with resources, right? They were always the club punching above their weight, and the rest of they were the club of the romantics. But now, if you look at the Premier League, Manchester City, financial juggernaut, will always be there. Manchester United, all the money in the world to be there. Newcastle, all the money in the world to be there. Arsenal have had a title challenging season, so they will be extremely. Even if they drop off, how much more will they drop off? Liverpool under Klopp will not have another as bad a start as they had this year. Getting into the top four, I think, is just never been as tough as it will be next season.
Exactly. So if they get that big successful season for them.
You know, I mean, I remember when we recorded our first episode, not one of our first episodes on Chelsea, right? That was the second episode, I think. And I said the new manager has to come in and has to target the Premier League. Analyzing this, you know, in detail, and forced by this podcast to do it from an impartial perspective, I think next season, given that we finished 13th this year or 12th this year, I think top six, I think, would be a successful year for Mauricio Pochettino. I honestly believe that.
That's just a fan in you being pessimistic.
No, I don't think so. Unless, you know, Newcastle and Arsenal really drop off, because let's face it, we don't know who all Newcastle are signing. That will determine things a lot. But unless Newcastle and Arsenal really, really drop off, it's going to be a very, very tough season. But more than any other things, yes, I would like to see some progress in terms of performances on the pitch. And at least see in clear terms what Pochettino is trying to achieve. I think one of the biggest complaints under Potter was nobody could say what was the ultimate Chelsea that Potter was striving towards, even more than the results. And I think that's the one thing fans will be looking forward to from Pochettino, a clear identity of what he wants, the way he wants the club to play. Pretty much a very, very similar job to what Ten Hag has done at United. At Chelsea, Pochettino has the ownership problem. But instead of the Cristiano problem, he has like a whole village for a dressing room problem.
Right. It's just like I'm really happy that Ten Hag and the way he's done it, United has now become a blueprint and a benchmark. So there you have it. Our 14th episode in the bag. It's all full of Ayusha's emotions, his third love after his partner, after his dog Leo. He has gotten hit the manager that he really wanted in Pochettino and still has a lot of complaints and pessimism for next season. We'll come back to this episode and see what happens. Mount, we discussed Kante, we discussed a lot of other midfielders, and even despite whatever Chelsea has in terms of number of players, we discussed what they lack. But yeah, this is the end of our 14th episode. Until next time, see you and goodbye.